There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your setting. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Talk on the Fangirl Zone, a podcast where we discuss shows on the Sci-Fi Channel. I am Sean Fangirl-esque.
I'm Steve, and today we'll be discussing episode 1 of season 3 of Resident Alien.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad it's back.
Yes, absolutely.
And I will tell you, though, I did not watch it live because I forgot it was back that day. Right. And I'm so mad. I was kicking myself because it was so funny. Although, I will tell you, as I was watching, my husband was with me, and thankfully he wasn't like, who's that? What's that? What's that? But he was just laughing because I'm like, yes, it's back. And he's like, wait a minute. Linda Hamilton's in this? And I'm like, yeah, she's been in for a while. And then he's like, wait a minute. What? I'm like, you know what? Go watch it. Go rewatch the first two seasons, even though you watched most of it.
Yeah.
Catch up. And then you can laugh with me the rest of the season because it was just a lot of good moments. And I really liked it.
Yeah.
So do we have any ratings news on this episode?
Yes, we do. It brought in a 0.06 rating in adults 18 to 49 with 0.465 million viewers. So not too bad for the first episode.
Yeah, I'm not the only one that forgot it was on. I'm sure now that they're really starting to reevaluate with streamings and how you can just get the Sci-Fi app and watch stuff. Like, right. I think ratings are going to be changing in the future. It may take a little while still, but
yep.
I really think it's going to change.
I do too.
All right. So shall we jump into episode 1?
Let's do it.
Episode 1, Lone Wolf. Harry starts working for General Wright at the Montana base. Meanwhile, Joseph infiltrates the sheriff's department as a deputy and dates Asta to learn more about Harry. Sahar breaks some startling news to Max, and Kate is haunted by an owl. That sounds very ominous. Like, all of it just kind of scary when you read that.
Yeah. Sounds like we're falling apart here.
Yes. I'm very worried about that. So Resident Alien is back, like we said, and it's out of this world. Charming, goofy, heartwarming, and bitingly funny as ever. Alan Tudyk is in full form as our titular alien, providing several laugh-out-loud moments in Lone Wolf. He's a comedic force. Like I said, my husband just started cracking up. Lone Wolf is a solid start to the season, offering a strong foundation for the overarching narrative with plenty of loose threads for further exploration down the line. I'm really hoping we're going to get more than just one more episode. But Harry and Asta's adorable friendship is the beating heart of the series, and the final scene in Lone Wolf is obviously proof of that. Harry takes a massive step on the character development front. He learns to work with the team instead of always flying solo. Well, did he, though? I mean, Teamwork makes a dream work, Dr. Van Der Spiegel.
So we open on a quiet, cold night in Patience. Time freezes temporarily as the Greys beam an unconscious Ben into his house. Unfortunately, the alien controlling said beam fumbles, missing Ben's bed as our favorite mayor flops onto the floor.
That was the first laugh out loud moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, and I kind of feel bad for him. It's like, I hope they have like mats down there because yeah. Looks like it may hurt.
Following morning, Kate asks if Ben slept well. Ben mutters a comment about it being cold outside despite not sleepwalking that night. Kate asks how he would know it's cold out. Meanwhile, Harry prepares for the day. He dons a suit and grabs a cup of coffee and his briefcase, making a beeline for a porta potty. While inside, a camera scans him. The bottom of said porta potty opens, revealing an underground tunnel. The tunnel takes him to an underground train where he scarfs down pieces slices in his briefcase.
At first, I'm like, why is he going to a porta potty?
Yes.
And then that, and I'm thinking, why does he have a briefcase? And then when he opened it, it's like, okay, well, I guess that makes more sense.
Right.
And I love when they're on the train and it's like secret tunnel or secret train to blah, blah, blah. We'll arrive in 6 minutes. I'm like, oh God. He arrived at Unit 5 where he works for General McAllister to thwart the Grays' threat invasion. On the wall it says, oh, and I am going to screw this up, so I apologize in advance. Oh my gosh, I'm not sure how to say this at all. Sabentia Omnia Vincit? I probably screwed that up, so everybody who took Latin, I'm sorry. Which translates to knowledge is power. Well, at his desk, Harry accepts work from a coworker. Well, more like he rejects it and decides that he'll take the task on himself. Which was really funny with the whole, oh, look what you did. This is crap.
Yeah.
Just take the week off. I'd be like, all right.
Yep.
McAllister calls Harry out on his inability to be a team player. Which, again, pretty comical. The workflow has ground to a halt because Harry refuses to delegate. Hey. It's not his fault that he's practically perfect in every way and filled with pizza. And I do love the person that was with the general.
Yeah.
Just mouthing to him, I hate
yes.
you.
Yeah.
I'm like, what happened? What did we miss? I want them to fill that in a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
Elsewhere, we see Otz and Darcy acclimating to their new living situation as roommates. Before departing for the clinic, Otz discovers the front page of the patient's post is about Darcy backing out of the hard pack tournament. Ugh, that was a little rough.
Yes.
And if you recall, Harry was also reading that newspaper on the subway. Darcy reads the headline, however, she insists it doesn't bother her until Asta leaves, and then Darcy's crumbling it up and, like, very angry.
Yeah.
Next, we have Sheriff Mike and Detective Lena having breakfast at the diner, and before Lena heads out, she pays for the bill, which Mike's eyes right there was like,
yes.
Probably not great. Deputy Liv notices that Mike is irritated, and he claims that Lena's been paying for their meals. It was two. Take a deep breath, Mike. It's yes. okay. He states that it's not natural order of things. Traditional gender dynamics should rule the roost. Woo! That look on Liv's face at that point.
Oh, yeah. Liv pushes that narrow thinking aside to inform Mike about her progress in the Peter Bach investigation. She took a photo from the CCTV footage. If they can identify who was in the van with Peter, they might have a lead into his murder. She believes they should check out the van, which is currently on the property of her husband's parents. Mike urges her to keep quiet. Anyone can listen in, including that mustard stain on the window that looks awfully like a UFO.
Okay, I cannot be the only person that was like, I really want it to be like a listening device. I wanted it to like flash to somebody listening, like, oh, they're on to us.
Yeah. He advises Liv to invest in getting an owl neck by doing neck exercise. Keep your head on a swivel, right? At the station, Joseph drinks coffee in his office. He receives the duffel bag from Peter's son, Robert Hutchins, who's abducted alongside Ben. A magnet that's presumably a camera falls out of the bag and attaches itself to the desk. Joseph rifles through Robert's diary before Mike and Liv arrive. Mike hands the bag to Liv, ordering her to examine its contents instead of Joseph. Of course, Joseph is one of the Grays, so he's very interested in that duffel bag.
And I thought it was interesting he pocketed the phone.
Yeah.
And nobody noticed.
Nope.
And Liv's face, too, when she gets a duffel. I was like, really? Why are you doing that? That's not cool, man. Later, Darcy visits Asta at the clinic, and she presents her bestie with a pillow that says Cat Mom, hoping it'll persuade Asta to let her get a cat for their home. Harry pops in, running late because of his work with McAllister, and suddenly, Joseph arrives. He freezes everyone in the room to have a little chat with Harry. Joseph claims that he's there to keep a close eye on Harry. For starters, Harry never went home, per his supervisor's instructions, so why? And Harry being the smart ass that he is, I don't like public transportation.
Yeah.
Harry resolves to discover what Joseph and the Grays are up to. And again, this was the section of the show that my husband is cracking up because Harry just kept flipping Joseph off.
Right.
But after Joseph unfreezes the humans, he introduces himself to Asta. Earlier, he remarked that he found her pretty, indicating that he'll get closer to her to burrow under Harry's skin. Asta looks smitten, as does the other ladies in the room.
Yes.
Then we get Kate, who wakes up in the middle of the night and an owl staring at her from the window. Remembering Mike's owl neck comment from earlier? Was this foreshadowing somehow?
Yeah.
You never know who is watching. Okay, sorry. That was a bad joke.
Yeah.
The following morning, Kate tells Ben of her plans to get curtains for the window. I love it. He's like, no, we like it open. She's like, we do. He's like, I just wanted to save money. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, McAllister arrives at the clinic after Harry takes a sick day from his alien investigation duties. After reminding him that he needs to attend the HR seminar, McAllister informs him of a new development. They have an alien audio that he needs to translate.
Well, Harry shows McAllister a pic of Joseph. She identifies him as the one who shot Peter Bach and fired on her men. Harry reassures her that he has a plan to take out Joseph. Plot twist, he doesn't have a plan.
And can I just say, I loved the insert. Yeah, you really need that HR seminar as he shows.
Yes.
Showing her the pictures. Oh my God, her face. I just love the little subtleties in this episode.
Yep. Where,
like, everybody's face is like, are you kidding me? Happens so much.
Elsewhere, Max and Sahar meet at the diner. Sahar reveals she's been kicking it at the comic book store where other kids their age are chatting about Peter Bach's death. They believe he was murdered. Sahar and Max decide to ask Harry if he's involved somehow.
Okay, quick time out. Those kids, like, sprouted.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck happened? Especially Max. He's, like, suddenly, like, so much taller and everything. And quick side note with Sahar, I was a little put off that she's showing her hair.
Right.
Because I think it was last season when she said that with her religion that she cannot show her hair except to, what was it, the male men of her family or when she's married. So I don't know who messed that up with continuity, but that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry. And now back to the show.
Later, Mike and Liv reunite at the pub to discuss the investigation. Liv believes they should take advantage of how loud the music is. It can conceal their private conversation. Liv reveals the duffel bag belongs to Peter's son. She claims she made this discovery by going through his diary. Naturally, Mike mishears her, thinking she said diarrhea. Pear continues to misinterpret what the other says because of the loud music, with the song cutting out right when Mike shouts that he doesn't have diarrhea. He reassures the dead silent room that he's cleared that shit up, literally.
That was just, it was like an Abbott and Costello moment.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's going way back, I know. But, what? Wait, I don't have that? What? It's like, oh, good Lord. This is just over the top.
Yes, it is.
Now, we have the ladies at the diner. Asa, Darcy, and Kayla all sitting there eating and talking some girl talk. And Harry's like, oh, is this girl talk? I want to participate. And oh, it was so bad.
Yeah.
The other gals are trying to persuade Asa to ask Joseph out on a date. And at first, when Harry was like, oh, no, don't go, girl. Then he realizes Asa could gain intel from her date with Joseph. And he quickly changes his tune. Yes, queen. Girls run the world. Harry cracked me up during this scene.
Yes.
Because it was so, like, awkward.
Yes.
It was just really funny. I don't know how Tudyk doesn't just crack up the whole time. But anyway, we have Mike down at John's parents' farm trying to chat with them. And that, again, it was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
They act like they don't have a son or daughter-in-law named Liv until our favorite WD appears with John. And Liv reassures Mike that they act like this around newbies. It's a natural trust thing. Okay, but the whole, we don't have a barn with a white door.
Yeah.
We don't have eyes. What? What? Mike and Liv plan to dig through Peter Bach's van on the property. Meanwhile, Kate puts up curtains at her home, hoping to keep the owl away. She spots Ben's new mug. Woo! That was just random.
Yeah.
When he walked in with that, I'm like, what are they trying to say?
Yeah.
Apparently, it was a photo of Max's ultrasound. And Kate starts having flashbacks from her alien abduction and the Greys literally snatching her unborn baby from her womb. And Ben sees the silver bracelet on her wrist, which unearths memories of being bound by those weird snaky rope things, courtesy of the Greys. And both of them become nauseous, trying not to vomit. I'm like, oh, please don't. Please don't.
Yeah, please don't.
Although I really thought that something was going to happen and they were going to start like, oh my God, blah, 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 you know, like talking about it. But, right. But at the same time, even though that didn't happen and we thankfully got to pan away from the almost vomiting couple, Harry is developing a listening device to eavesdrop on Asa and Joseph's date. And that's when Max and Sahar arrive. Sahar digs through his home until she finds Peter's alien tracking weapon. Or the, was it the tracking or was it the zappy thing?
It was the zappy thing.
I don't know what it's called. That's the technical term, people, in case you were unsure. Zappy thing. Outside Harry's cabin, Sahar shows said weapon to Max. Max can't believe Harry lied to him about his involvement with Peter. I'm going to have to say you didn't lie because you asked if he killed him. He did not. Harry claimed that Peter never made it to town. Well, did he?
Yeah.
Now I can't remember. I thought Harry met him somewhere and then they went to find the Greys.
Yeah, they had played hide and seek in town for a little while with Judy.
Oh, right, right.
Next, Liv and Mike sit in Peter's van. They discover fingerprints within, which could lead them in the right direction. At the clinic, Harry gifts Asta with a unique makeup compact for her date. It'll allow him to listen in, but she doesn't know that. That evening, Asta and Joseph hit up a nice restaurant. After breaking the ice, Joseph not so subtly asks her about her boss, Harry. Later, Harry realizes Asta left her compact at home when she hears Judy instead. Oh my God, this was hilarious.
It was.
So he breaks into Austin Darcy's apartment where Judy sings a song about her hairless cat to the tune of Danny Boy while both soak in the tub.
That was pretty impressive, though.
Yeah.
So whoever wrote that, good on you. That was good.
Yeah. Harry grabs Austin's compact before Judy asks him to taste her Judy soup.
All right, Judy, stop. Please stop.
Yes, please stop. Darcy spots Judy as the latter attempts to sneak out of the house. Judy confesses that Harry was also there. Harry finally slips the compact into Asta's purse while pretending he's there to support her on her date. Elsewhere, Sahar breaks the news to Max that she's been accepted into a prestigious school in California. She hoped to help Max friend the comic book store kid so he wouldn't miss her. Well, this is disappointing because we're all going to miss Sahar. She tends to run the whole world.
I know. It's kind of weird. It's like, okay, you're coming back for like one episode. Now, I didn't look on IMDb to see if she is supposed to make other appearances or not.
Right.
But it was kind of surprising.
Yep. And I saw where they dropped the episode list down to 8 from 12.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Now, I know, again, side note, everyone, sorry. So this filmed before or after the strike?
I would have to say it had to be filmed before the strike.
Maybe they didn't get all of them filmed before. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
They know we had talked about it because we were hoping they were going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. And obviously, because of everything that happened, they weren't there.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe they just didn't get them all done. And maybe she already has another show we don't know about. But if she does, we wish her luck. We'll have to check that out. All right, back to the show again. Sahar encourages Max to embrace his unique gifts for detecting aliens. She hands him Peter Bach's weapon. Max accepts his new destiny as a bona fide alien tracker. Even though Sahar's like, that's not what I said, but okay.
Yeah.
Whatever makes you okay, Max. Kate heads downstairs to ask Sahar if she'll be staying for dinner before hopping over to the diner. And Sahar's like, no, I don't eat takeout.
Yeah.
Not nicely, but because it's ruined. The containers are ruining the environment. I love Kate.
Right.
You could have just said no. So Kate waits for her food with Kayla and Rachel at the diner. And she tells them about the owl who has been outside of her window every night. And Kayla explains that owls are taboo in their culture. Rachel adding that they're a symbol of death. As Dan arrives with Kate's takeout. And Kayla kind of is like scooching away from her. When Kayla and Rachel inform him about Kate's owl problem, he instantly reaches inside of his pocket and hands her cedar. urging her to light it with a match and spread the smoke around her house in each room. And when she tries to ask any of them to come help, they're all like,
nope.
Oh, look how interesting this speck on the window is.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Darcy confronts Harry after finding the listening device in his home. And instead of listening and trying to figure out what's going on, she breaks it.
Yeah.
And then Harry has to explain that Asa's on a date with Joseph, one of the Greys. Darcy tries to call Asa before realizing that they've left the restaurant already, so she's probably not picking up.
Nope.
Darcy tries to call Asta again, and, well, they just have to figure something out. So later, Darcy gets Joseph out of the house by claiming she has a stomach bug, and then Harry emerges from the back and drops the reveal that Asta was on a date with an alien. Asta kicks Harry out, angry with him for not disclosing the information beforehand, and we see Harry reflecting on his actions while sitting outside Asta's home after Asta goes to bed. But it was funny because Asta's trying to tell Darcy, no, he's like a child. He doesn't get emotions. And he's like, yes, like a child. Don't get it. What I was worried about was after Asta goes to bed, Darcy manages to pull a bottle of vodka out between the couch cushions and add some liquor to her soda. So this is a little upsetting because we thought she was on the wagon, or at least
right, trying.
Not, yeah. So that's kind of worrisome that she has stuff hidden around.
Yeah. Well, then Max finds a farewell note from Sahar. Of course, you gotta love that she has special stationery, because of course she does. Upstairs, Kate dumps this on the bin. She thinks they should sell the house. That's precisely what one needs to hear while reading Don't Hassle the Hawk.
I want to know if that's a real book. I did not look it up.
I think it is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Harry barges into Asta's room, waking her to confess something personal. He had planned to kill her because his love for her prevents him from saving the world. However, he loves her too much to murder her. Thankfully, Asta volunteers to continue dating Joseph so she can get intel from him. She'll help him with his mission to protect the Earth. Harry muses that working together in a team might not be so bad. He and Asta embrace, and it's super sweet. Is Max officially the new alien tracker? What will Asta learn with her dates with Joseph? Will Ben and Kate actually move? And when will they learn about their respective abductions? Only time and more episodes will tell. We'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com. Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other resident alien podcasts out there. Please tell your friends, and we hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcast.
We have so many podcasts. We have about 36 out there of different shows. And then even when you look at that, sometimes there's additional under, like our Marvel and our Mudhorn. Those are and Captain's Chair. Sorry, I almost forgot about Captain's Chair. They have multiple shows under, but it's everything in those universes. And check it out at www.fangirlzone.com or everywhere you find your podcast. Like, literally go on and search Fangirl Zone and you'll see all of our podcasts. So don't forget to check out our contacts page over on our website, www.fangirlzone.com, with all the ways to get a hold of us, all of the ways to find us. We are like American Express. We're everywhere you want to be. So for this episode of Resident Alien on Sci-Fi Talk,
I'm Steve. I curl Cletus 3 times a day.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S. And until next time.